Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Xtract Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
Things are fine. Thank you very much. And how are you and Kevin?
Yeah, busy as usual, gearing up for a week in London in the coming week and everything, getting ready for a few visits, but as busy as normal, to be honest.
That's good.
Yeah. So just recently we saw the Racecourse Prospect updated mineral resource estimate with over 1 million tons of contained copper equivalent metal, representing a substantial undeveloped copper gold porphyry deposit. We saw quite a muted response to this announcement, and some might say a slightly negative one. Do you want to communicate just to the market exactly what may have been misinterpreted here? I mean, all we heard was musings of the 2 million ton target not reached.
Yeah, I've had a hell of a day, like you guys are sort of forecasting a day. So I managed to look at the bulletin boards before this interview, and it seems apparent to me that we've all forgot, I have, of course, maybe you and Kevin have, that there were two trigger points for that buyout. We shouldn't get wrapped up about it, but let's face it, it is important in Xtract's life. That third company buyout proposition, it's not just predicated on 2 million tons, 2 million tons or decision to mine. And it doesn't say whether that mine is 2 million tons of copper a year or 20,000 or 5,000 or 3,000 tons of copper. Now, what have we proved? We've proved that it's a massive area. It's the biggest in the Lachlan Fold. The geophysics have grown it and grown it and grown it. Racecourse has gone behind our wildest dreams. And we've managed to find a new, the chemistry is so different, Phil. Ascot is different. You know, those moly values and the predominance of gold and the way it presented itself in entirety is different. So now here we are. We sit now and we've got what is a super duper, in my opinion. Maybe I'm on my own here, I don't know. But anybody with a 1.1 million deposit confined to an open pit, which basically passed the initial assessment, is in the pound seats. Because when I did that initial conceptual study, you'll remember we put it out, I don't know, probably 18 months ago. I can't remember when we put it out. But we had to achieve these targets to get anywhere near, Phil. We've achieved them. We're sitting here with a standalone 1.1 million ounces. We've got Ascot, which we're modelling. We've got other areas which have come into play because of the geophysics. Now, let me turn this around and ask you and Kevin, would you sooner have 1.1 million, which is a pretty decent size ore body in this day and age, when you forecast the future for copper, what joins up with 190-odd million, near 190-odd million of high-grade, very near surface, and still potential to add 1.1 million tons of copper, which doesn't exceed 600 meters, which has got a stripping ratio of about 4.3 to 1, would you sooner have that, or would you sooner have a lot of little deposits which add up to 2 million tons and they don't join up and they're not standalone mines? You know, you don't have to go to Imperial College for that decision. And remember, if I'm going to give the shareholders 2 million tons or that third party 2 million tons, I've got to go and spend out $5 or $6 million of their money. And then, the 2 million tons might not be relevant because it don't join up. So good Lord. To me, I just ate that word no-brainer, but I'm going to have to use it. It was a no-brainer. Kevin, if only life was that simple as you can use that,
if only life was simple,
as you could use the word no-brainer, another word I don't like is gobsmacked, but I think just when I left the bulletin boards, I was a bit gobsmacked, really, because 1.1 million tons, which maybe grow to 1.3 when we've made the circle a bit bigger by the opportunities on the fringe, to me, meets all the parameters of conceptual study. But, we go now, it's going into the modelers. It's going into the modelers with 50 million ton of inferred resource. It's going into the modeling with 191 million tons at quite a decent grade. And it's going into 20 years at 25 million tons, 25, 20, I don't know, that sort of order. So it's a big mine. And, shouldn't we be happy? Let's roll the clock back. when we started all this. It was, you know, 71 million tons we'd got, Kevin. 2 years later, 32,000 ounces of drilling. What have we got? We've got a metallurgical study. We've got the geophysics, which says it's far bigger than we could have hoped it to be. We've got a standalone mine of 1.1 million tons. I'd be doing the shareholders such a disservice if I just went chasing their magical, that some people have got in their head that the 2 million is magical, and if don't join up. I tell you what, Kevin, the study, we've asked the modelers, because, you know, I think that you've realised, I think we've discussed it on other podcasts. Between Racecourse and Ascot, even though the chemistry is different, there's mineralization all the way. I'm going to be negative now and say I don't think that mineralization does join up or is an high enough grade to include in the model. Or alternatively, I'm going to say, well, maybe it'll go below the 600 meters. But you know, we're going to do that as part of the model. But let's stick to what we're saying. We've got this down to 600 meters. We've got 1.1 million tons of copper. We've got a 25 times 20-year mine life. But what's been missed by everybody, I think, well, I'm sure that, I was only a scanter then, probably being very unfair to the bulletin boards there. But with 191 million tons, assuming you work that at 25 million, there's 8 years, the best part, 7 or 8 years, at a very good grade. Kevin, that pays off all your infrastructure, pays off your plant. So you've got to look at the remaining ore, doesn't carry the capex. The capex has gone. It carries its own variable.
But I think the 191 million tons at a high grade is surely going to pay off more than just the capex. You're going to make a profit on that.
Oh, bloody hell, you're going to do more than you're going to make a great profit on years. It. The point I'm making to you, Kevin, that if the grade was, say, 0.24, 0.22, 0.26 and throughout uniform, you know, you may struggle with this project, but it's going to have a good 7 or 8 years where you pay off all, you pay off every day. You've bought your infrastructure, you've bought your plant, you've bought your offices, you've bought your tailing, your major tailings dam, and then the rest, you know, the balance, the next 16 years, doesn't carry a new capex. It only carries its own up cost. And yeah, $10 a ton.
$10 a ton for digging it up, you mean?
Yeah, I reckon that if you look at the variable cost against the intrinsic value of the copper, the grade, once you've paid and gone outside the I grade, that in actual fact you should be throwing out $10 a ton, and then $10 a ton at 20 million is a couple hundred million dollars a year. This is a big project, Kevin. This is
okay,
a big
so
project.
Here's my contentious comment to you, and we said this before in maybe a different context. If someone turns around to you now and offers you $150 million for this project now, would you take it or not?
It's so hypothetical as I'm not going to answer it, because I've got a third party out there with option on 2 million tons of contained copper, or option on decision to mine. And I think we've told the market, I don't think we've been very subdued about it, Kevin. We've told the market we're on with it now. We're going to do the study next into pre-feasibility study, and our third party can take it, join in. If they don't want to join in, maybe we will widen up the audience and put it out to the general trade. The options are ours, but at the moment, the options are theirs, because is it 2 million tons or is it decision to mine? I don't think, as I say, I don't think if I've been too sort of subdued. The decision to mine has been made.
So the decision to mine has been made. Have we sent communications to the third party to say
no,
that has happened?
Because if I was the third party, I'd say, show me the numbers. And, you know, we're getting into a very difficult arena now where I can't negotiate on a Sunday roast podcast. But, you know, there has to be a level of depth. I mean, put yourself the other side of the fence, and it's not a fence. We're dealing with very good people. But, you know, their response will be, well, show us the figures. Show that you've got a feasibility study. Show that you're moving towards financing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the point I'd like to get across now is that why chase and spend another $5 or $6 million on getting 2 million tons plus when that 2 million tons may be disjointed, fragmented, might not join up? It's only one parameter which has to be satisfied. The other parameter is decision to mine, and I'm very happy with 1.1 million tons at the grades we've got with an high-grade component and 50 million tons of it inferred. No, it's a very good situation. 32,000 meters drilled. We've looked, and you know, have you seen? I don't know how detailed you've seen that study. As you know, we've gone into payabilities, we've gone into recoveries. It's not Mickey Mouse. We've gone into every single aspect, and all of it is independent. Yeah, but then stop the clock again, Kevin. Everything else is open-ended down the way there with Ascot. Everything is open-ended to the west, and everything is open-ended to the east, and partly to the south. So the 2 million ton is you can say, why didn't we go for that? But I think the option we've chosen is far more sensible in terms of the use of shareholder money.
Yeah, no, I see what it is. And I think for a period of time, and it hasn't been the recent times, an expectation of the 2 million tonnes was in place. And that's why people have been sort of, I felt disappointed, I think, at 1.1 million tonnes. But the reality is, I believe anyway, that this is a strong standalone project, as you've said. But I'm more interested in the fact that there's maybe close to 200 million tonnes at fairly high grade for copper. And that is the thing that's really going to, you know, yeah, win over or not, as the case may be, in this particular situation.
Yeah, let's be fair, Kevin. If I was the sheriff, if I was looking on the outside looking in, and there was only one target, 2 million tonnes, I'd say, Colin, you said you were going to get 2 million, you haven't. What next? But I think it seems somewhere along the line to have lost that there were choices. And it was easy for our board, the choice was, do we do a phase 3 big drilling program? And at least I've seen that in a few bulletin boards. How much more money are we going to need, and how much more are we going to spend to get that 2 million? But we seem to miss the point. The point is a new mine coming on stream with a minimum of 1.1 million tonnes of contained copper, going down to 600 meters with a stripping ratio of 4.3:1, which has got an high grade component to pay the capex, is a bit of a jewel in this day and age.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, I don't, for me anyway, I can't look at extract now and just say, oh, let's talk about you know, what's happening down in Australia, because you're producing quite a lot of gold, which in my view, you know, looks after the market cap on its own. But I mean, maybe I'm wrong in that, but that's certainly my view. The market reacted to this today in a negative way, as in it's finished down. But the reality is, it wasn't even priced in at the price it's in now. You know, nothing was priced in. The only thing that was priced, as far as I was concerned, is the gold and a little bit of Australia, a little bit. Like, and for the size of it, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, one's never comfortable, and the most dangerous emotion in this business is comfort, or the most dangerous state is comfort. But you know, the Horizon mine started up quite nicely. They're still in the superficials. We're beginning to expose the hard rock. As always, you know, that you iron out one problem and find another with the plant. That seems to be going well. The grade control protocol was not easy, but we've got a protocol in place now. The results are getting better by the day. Of course, we've always got that range, and I suppose the next comment is Colin can always hide behind the range. Very, very, very convenient for him. But I mean, that would be most unfair. This mine, I tell you what, I'm no embarrassment saying to it, and at all, is a very well built plant, and above the sort of things that evolving resource companies build. It really is a classy plant. The ore body varies here and there, and so we put in place a ore control program, a grade control program that's working very nicely now. Varying contents of iron, which meant we had to put our thinking caps on a little bit with the actual smelting them for the final doré bars. But when you think we've been at it 2 or 3 months, I was quite pleased with the sort of results we got last month, and the results we're on our way for this month. So that's good. Our own operations are doing all right, the alluvials. And we're still busy with our acquisition program of small mines in Zambia. Look, you know, we've got there's a war on. There's a lot of negativity in the market, and when expectations aren't met, shareholders do get concerned. And And good Lord, who can blame them? I'm a shareholder myself, and we all hope for the very best.
Yeah.
But I am surprised that we seem to have completely forgotten that there was option one and option two.
Yeah.
Option one would have cost the shareholders a lot more and would not necessarily have added any value. There's nothing magic about 2 million. It's just the figure what was pulled out of the air as a trigger point. It's got no significance whatsoever. I mean, if that figure, Kevin, for example, Phil, if that figure had said a contiguous 2 million, Colin and the extract board would be in trouble. But it said 2 million tons. Didn't matter if they're 10 kilometers away, provided they're within the license. How are you going to join them up? Well, we've got 1.1 million tons, which will be a bit more, which actually satisfies every single parameter that we had when we started this phase two, very aggressive 32,000 meter program. So we should be joyous, really. You know, it's gone off to the conceptual studies. We're going to get a result back. We're going to get a payback. We're going to get an NPV, play about with the model. We probably, I don't know what's going to happen. It might be, what in actual fact is that when we look at all the parameters, play about with cutoff grades, play about with, we can't play about with recoveries. They're set in stone. We can't play about with payabilities and metallurgical characteristics. They're all the result of third-party investigations. But I tell you what, when you look at what we started with, 71 million tons, 32,000 meters of drilling later, we've got a new world mine of 1.1 million tons of copper, 4.3 stripping ratio, thereabouts. They haven't worked it out yet, which, quite frankly, is in a good space for 2023 when the copper miners, the big boys, start looking around for where's the copper to satisfy the demand for the rest of this century, for the rest of this decade and into the next decade.
Yeah. So in terms of next steps, obviously in the RNS, there was talk of defining a maiden mineral resource estimate for the Ascot project. And then obviously, and then once that's completed, the open pit mining study for the Bushranger will be updated to determine, I guess, the economics. Do you want to just talk sort of the shareholders through what they can expect in the short term and more sort of the long term, Colin?
Yeah, you made them sound sequential, Phil. They're not sequential, they're concurrent. The figures have gone off. We've decided what the parameters are for the study. I mean, obviously, there's parameters. We've got to find out what break-even is. Then we're going to try it at 8,000 ton copper, 9,000 ton copper, 10,000 ton copper, find out what break-even is. We're going to find out how we might adjust mining rates, and we're going to end up with a net present value and payback, capital cost, and all of those things using current industry norms. And then at Ascot, working out what is the resource from our drilling. Now then, you get right back into the heart of what I've been saying, that really, is Ascot completely standalone, or might it join up with the open pit? There is a wish that it joins up with the open pit. One thing I can say for certain is that between Racecourt and Ascot, all our holes in actual fact came in with mineralization. Now, I'm not sure when it's finally modeled whether the plunge takes you below 600 meters. I'm not sure at, say, 8,000, 9,000 ton copper, that doesn't matter anyway. I'm not sure what the maximum stripping ratio is that you can tolerate. So that's why, to be fair to this podcast and fair to our shareholders, I've got to talk about what I've got. And what I've got is 1.1 million tons of tin-contained copper, which satisfies all the parameters and more that we started off with when we went into this 32,000 meter. Well, we actually, if you remember, went into a 15,000 meter drilling program and ended up drilling 32. And still haven't been back to shareholders. They were beating me up in February this year, telling me I was going to come around with a begging bowl. I managed to drill this 32,000 when I said I was going to do, when I got enough money for 15. You won't believe how frugal we've been. You'd be amazed at the performance of those drillers and the cooperation of the drillers. You'd be amazed at the diligence of that geological team. Some of your youngsters, two-thirds of them female, who worked through COVID, who all of a sudden, if you left New South Wales, we would have had to close down all the rigs because we couldn't have brought anybody else in.
When did you first settle on this project? When did you get Racecourse into extract?
you know, I don't know it. It what life's like with COVID and everything. One's lost touch of time. And when you think I don't think it's much more than 2.5 years, is it? When you think what we've done during that period, it's amazing.
I don't know what the market cap of Xtract would have been at that time, but I would imagine it would have
been. I can tell you the share price was about 1.5 pennies.
Yeah. So it was probably around the 12 to 15 million pound market cap. And you're now sitting with 25 million pound market cap with the assets that you have. How going forward as well as now, do you feel it? That's a fair representation of the value that is in Xtract?
Well, I think our shareholders are saying to us, by the way, so let's wait and see. We're disappointed with the 2 million. I'm not, because I had options. As I say, if it was the only option, I'd be same as them, biting my fingernails off and saying this hasn't worked out. But, I don't want to go through it all again, but 1.1 million tonnes fitted all our parameters. And made a mine, to me, that's job done. Whoever comes in and helps us, because let's face it, at the end of the day, somebody will have to come in and help because it's a massive proposition, one of the biggest in Australia, certainly on the Lachlan Fold, one of the biggest in Australia. We've made our choice, and 1.1 million tonne and Kevin, that's what more can I say? That is it value? At 28 million. If this study, obviously the conceptual study, says that you've got a pit with payback of 3.5 to 4.5 years, got the correct NPV at 7,500 plus, you've got the operation down in Mozambique, own operation, and a 23% share in the profits of a gold mine. And we're, as I say, we're in acquisition mode. With small deposits in Zambia, to me, Xtract still looks extremely, extremely good value. Quite frankly, I try not to be disappointed, Kevin. I try not to be disappointed because, I know they're out there, people are hurting, Kevin.
Yeah, so do we.
Yeah, boy,
it's you know, I mean, I
that I'm in this space and been in this space forever, and that I'm a, as well as an entrepreneur, I'm an investor in this space, not necessarily my own companies, all of them, although I've invested in them a lot more than a lot of people who are, run companies in this space. I'm hurting too. But I tell you what, if I just step off from Xtract, that's what we're talking about. This is a very good result. And the result is open-ended. The result is open-ended. We've got options. We've got mileage left in the tank. Our gold mine is only just starting and we're acquiring other producing assets. What isn't there to like about the company? And I think that the 2 million has just been, it was really my fault, probably. I take full blame. I think the 2 million has been overplayed as the only expectation for the company when really I should have made it more apparent, I think, probably, that I didn't really care that we had to pass one of the key parameters and ask our third-party buyer whether or not they want to buy us or not.
Yeah. And the interesting thing for me when I'm listening to you and also listening to what everybody else was saying is 2 million was sort of a line in the sand, but at the same time, whether 1.1 million or 2 million, this mine, when it's up and running, is going to produce, say, 25,000 tons a year. Yeah, something like
that. No, more than that, Kevin.
How much do you think it's going to produce a year?
I don't want to do that now because I think that's too much of a forward-looking statement.
Okay, but I was doing
conceptual study. But we're talking about 25,000 tons of ore going through a year here.
Yeah. Well, I'm. In my mind, I was looking at 25,000 tons a year, okay, which may be way too small. But for a conceptual pit initially, maybe that's what you start at and then grow. Who knows? But this is $200 million US dollars at 8,000 copper price per annum of revenue, okay? $200 million per annum of revenue. Now, that is small scale compared to what actually is possible in this situation. So from that perspective, I look at it and go, you know, wow, the economics of this thing could be literally amazing. Now, you do need a partner. Of this, there is no doubt. And that partner will come because there is a desperate need for copper. I mean, without going into the story, we did the copper story only a couple of weeks ago on the podcast. And it's inevitable that we need more and more copper. How many copper discoveries have there been with a million tons or more of contained copper in the last 3 years? How many have there been?
Kevin, I really can't answer the question, but I don't think you need two answers.
Yeah, no, there's not many. There is not many. No. I don't know the answer, but there are not many.
Not many.
And that,
Kevin,
and
I don't think you need, I don't think you need two answers.
Yeah. So the reality is, from what is going to happen and what is required in the copper market, then this is going to be a play that has to happen.
That's the way I see it. You know, again, I always talk about the negatives, but one has to be realistic for the benefit of all concerned, shareholders, ourselves, and you've got to be feet on the ground. But, you know, the EV story hasn't gone away. The big wind farms needing this massive amount of copper. Every advert, you know, every evening when you're watching World Cup or everybody you've been watching, there's an advert for a new EV car, and they're smart and they're shiny and they're making Teslas look like bloody minis. So, you know, we're living in an age where the EV hasn't got away, and every month what goes by where there's no new copper production announced makes the 2025, 2027 story pretty difficult to meet. Notwithstanding the fact in Chile you've got an anti-mining president where 30% of the world's copper's coming from. So the story's there to stay. And this old body 10 years ago would have been parked in a cupboard. Right, you're right. But for tomorrow's world, this is one of the new plays in a jurisdiction like Australia, very clear fundamentals, has passed quite a few of the technical acid tests. And I think what you're saying to me is I'm going to have a role to play in that. And I really share that with you, Kevin. I really share it with you.
Okay. Well, we've had a day and a half, and I think people will hopefully digest this. This will go out, I think, tomorrow morning for people to digest on a new day and understand where Extract is headed, which is to commit to mining this particular project, looking for a partner. Whether that be the one that's already in the agreement or a new one. And you continue on with the gold. And you're looking for stuff in Zambia, which is, prolific in terms of copper again. So the future is bright. The future is copper.
Well put, Kevin. I tell you what, if you asked me to summarize, I couldn't have done it better than that. Well done, Kevin. I mean, that really is a very good summary. And that's the way I feel. Heart, soul, mind, and everything.
Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Colin.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.